The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the Daily Kitzer Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzer365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Rafael Schneider.
We're starting Simin Kuf Yudalid 114. Din Mechiras Chametz, the law concerning the selling of chametz. Starts the Kitzer. Sif Aleph. Yisroel Shayle Chametz Shalev Rishus of a Pesach. A Jew who had in his possession chametz, his own chametz, on Pesach. Oiver Bechol Rega Verega Al Bayiro Vayimotze. He's over, he transgresses each and every moment the prohibition of Bal Yirah, not to see chametz, uvayimotze, not to find chametz. Now in reality, there's no prohibition against seeing chametz, and there's no prohibition against finding chametz. The Rishonim explain, the Middle Age commentators explain, that the prohibition is having your chametz in your possession. Both of these mitzvahs, Bayira, Lo Yira Lecha, and Bayimatza, are both mitzvahs that tell us that one is not allowed to have chametz, his own chametz, in his possession, under his authority, during any time, during Pesach. And some even hold that it includes Erev Pesach, the day before Pesach, from Chatzais, from midday and onward. Now, even though the reality is that the chametz does not belong to the person, because the Torah takes all chametz away from a person, starting from Erev Pesach, it's actually not under this person's ownership anymore. But if a person didn't actively do something to rid the chametz from his possession, and he just let the Torah take it away from him, then a person is over these two surim. He's over an iser kol bayira, and he's over an iser kol bayimatza. And therefore, a person has to actively take the chametz, either by destroying the chametz, or selling the chametz, or doing bittel, Kol Chamira, saying the chametz is no longer worth anything to you, and is no longer in your possession. One has to actively do something to rid it, and if he does not, then he's over the iser. The size that the Torah prohibits is the size of a kezias, and this is mentioned in a mission of Maseches Beitza. Continues the Kitzer, v'achametz oser b'hanol olam, and if one didn't actively get rid of the chametz, then this chametz is usur, is prohibited to get pleasure from forever. Even if it was an accident, the Shulchan Aruch writes, even if the person did not do it on purpose, he still may not have any pleasure from this chametz if it was under his authority over any part of Pesach. Now the Beis Meir, one of the later commentaries, says that it depends what kind of einus, it depends what kind of situation, what kind of accidental situation. For example, if a non-Jew baked a cake for a Jew using the Jew's flour on Pesach, where the person totally could not have known such a thing would happen, then this is not included in the Isser, that after Pesach, a person is permitted to get pleasure from this. That is not included in violating this Knas, this fine that Chazal implemented, only applies to an Einus where you could have possibly known about it. But something you couldn't have known about at all, then that kind of chametz is not usur, is not prohibited from getting pleasure from after Pesach has already ended. continues the Kitzur, afilu bit like koydim Pesach, even if a person said the Kol Chamida like we talked about earlier, still, if it was under his authority, in his possession over Pesach, just declaring the Kol Chamira alone is not enough. It is considered ridding the chametz from your ownership, but you have to do more than that. You have to take another step and either sell the chametz away or actually get rid of the chametz, give it away. But one cannot just simply rely. Chazal, the rabbis were not comfortable just letting a person say Kol Chamira, and that's it. Some say, even if a person checked for chametz and said the bittul, still, and then he finds chametz later on, some say that even though he was not over Bal Yirah Bal Yimatzah, because he said the bittul, and he checked, he was doing his best, still, if he finds that kind of chametz in his possession over Pesach, he's not allowed to get possession. He's not allowed to get pleasure from it after Pesach. Others are lenient and say if you did what you could do, that's good enough. And the Mishnah Berurah brings down that if a person is facing a big loss, then a person is allowed to rely on the opinion that holds that if you checked and you did bittul, that's good enough. Not only that, the Aruch HaShulchan writes that really, even just doing the bittul alone, and it's a situation of a loss, and even perhaps if it's not such a loss, but because a person did the bittul, he took the chametz out of his possession, the Ikar Adin, the letter of the law is that a person may get pleasure from this chametz after Pesach. Continues the Kitzur. V'lochein, and therefore, mi sheyesh lo harbe chametz, somebody who has a lot of chametz, sheino chol v'ara min ha'ilam, he can't destroy it from the world. It's too much. Tzarech l'mochra l'goy kaidim ha'Pesach, he has to sell it to a non-Jew before Pesach, b'shashu adayin mutar b'ana, at a time that he's still allowed to get pleasure from the chametz. So at the end of the fourth hour, a person is no longer allowed to eat chametz, and after the fifth hour, a person is no longer allowed to get pleasure. So a person has to sell prior to the end of the fifth hour, on the 14th of Nisan. V'lo ye'ini mechiras chametz eitzel adam k'may mitzvahs anashim melumada. The selling of the chametz should not be to a person just by rote, something that he doesn't consider to be a real sale. Ela tzarech sheyigmar bedaita. A person has to really conclude in his mind with full conviction. Shu meichrei ve'emes legai. He's really selling it in truth to a non-Jew. Mechira gemura v'chaluta. A complete and total sale. Don't sell it for more, a more expensive price than what's really fitting of it. And after Pesach is finished, a person should ask from the non-Jew that he should pay him back the whole monetary obligation. V'kasher yishiveyu she'en lai chesef, and when he tells him he doesn't have enough money, yivakesh yimenu she'yachzer v'yimka lai esachametz ba'ad kach v'kach. So then you should ask the non-Jew, you know what? Instead of paying me the rest of the chayv, the rest of the monetary obligation, the rest of the money you owe me for the chametz, you know what, just sell it back to me for a certain amount of money and we'll be even. It should not be considered, it shouldn't be like a joke. Ella kederech hasoichr mamish. It should really be like merchants, one, a buyer and a seller who are really making a real deal. And that's what the Rabbanim today do. People don't usually sell on their own. They sell through a local Rav, a local rabbi. And he makes a real deal with the non-Jew. And he says, this is really your chametz. And really you could do with it as you please. But, if you're interested, I would buy it back from you at a later date. They tell that sometimes even earlier, even before Pesach. They'll tell if I wouldn't mind buying it back from you later on, if the chametz is still available. And since the non-Jew in the end makes a profit, he often sells it for more than he bought it. So he's very happy to do this. The Chasam Sefer writes that people think this is just a custom. It's just people go through this by rote. They sell the chametz, but it's not a real sale. And the Chasam Sefer writes that it's not true. It's an actual sale. And it's really, it could be held up in court. And if the non-Jew wanted to, he could go and eat the chametz himself. And if he wants to, he could sell it to somebody else. Or if he doesn't want to sell it back, he doesn't have to. Continues the Kitzer. Beis. Hachametz shumaych legai. The chametz that he sells to a non-Jew, tzarech shelo yehei bebeis shel Yisrael. It shouldn't just sit in the Jew's house as if it's his normal, it's the regular part of the year where he has all his chametz, all his food around him. Really, it's best that it be taken out of the Jew's possession completely. And if the non-Jew will pick up this chametz and bring it to his house, that's really the best situation. But sometimes it's too much. It's too much either because this Jew himself has too much chametz, or the guy, the non-Jew, is buying from multiple Jews. He's buying from a whole community. And he can't possibly pick up everybody's chametz and bring it to his house. If it's impossible to bring it to his house, tzarech lahaskil le'azacheder. The Jew has to rent the room to the non-Jew. Shachametz munachbay. That the chametz is sitting in it. Some say to rent the room to the non-Jew. Some say to sell the room to the non-Jew. And that way, the chametz is no longer sitting in the Jew's possession, in the Jew's house. It's the guy's chametz, and it's in the guy's room. Some say that you don't actually need to take the chametz out of the Jew's house. Rather, all you need to go ahead and do is the non-Jew should make a kinyan. He should make an acquisition of the chametz. And once he bought it, he picked it up or he dragged it, then it completely belongs to him. He physically took possession of the chametz, and now it suffices for the Jew to put up a mechitza, to put up a partition in front of the chametz. Like any time he would have chametz in his possession that's not his. Let's say a non-Jew put down his chametz in the Jew's house, so the Jew would create a partition. He said, I'm not accepting any responsibility for it, but as long as it's here, I'm going to create a partition in front of it. I'm not going to be involved with it at all. I won't come to eat it. And that suffices. So here also, even though this chametz once belonged to the Jew, but now that the non-Jew went ahead and was kinda acquired the chametz, the actual chametz, so all you have to do is set up a mechitza. All you have to do is set up a partition. Others are not comfortable with this. Since it once belonged to the Jew, maybe he'll feel like, this is sort of mine anyway. And therefore, the others say that it's not enough just to create a partition over here. And we're concerned that perhaps he'll come to eat it, because he recognizes the chametz. He eats from that box all the time. So he might come to eat from this as well. continues the Kitzer. But Tzarech Lichtei Beshtar, you have to write in a document, Shem HaKaina, the name of the one who's buying it, the non-Jew that's buying it, Uvechame Hiskilei Esacheder, and how much the rent of the room is, how much he's renting to the room to the non-Jew, what's the cost? Vish agav karka hikna layas achomet hamunach sham. And also, that through taking possession of the ground, he's also taking possession of the chomet that's in it as well. Because one of the kinyonim, one of the methods of acquisition, that the non-Jew takes possession of the Jew's chometz is called a kinyan agav, and that is that the rabbis told us that not only can you acquire something through actually taking physical possession of it, some hold through money paying for something, but others say by taking possession of the yard, of the area that the chometz is sitting, is called kinyan chatzer. And if you acquire the chatzer, if the chatzer is yours, you also acquire what's in it. And another method is called a kinyan agav. And that is when you acquire something, when you acquire a land possession, when you acquire a piece of real estate, and you make a kinyan on it, you acquire it making some sort of acquisition, either using a shtar, using a document, or paying for it, or some other method of acquisition, then even though you didn't actually physically acquire the movable objects, the chametz comes along for the ride, sort of. As you acquire the real estate, as you acquire the ground, and you make a acquisition, you make a kinyan on the ground, together with that you also acquire the movable objects that are mentioned, and in this case the chometz that happens to be sitting in the room or sitting in wherever the whatever place the person is renting or selling to the non-Jew. Now if the chometz, let's say, is not sitting in that place, let's say the non-Jew acquires a room in the Jew's house, but the chametz is in a different place. So the interesting thing about kinyan agav is, and that's why it's even better than what we call kinyan chatzer. Kinyan chatzer, again, is when a person acquires the land, he owns the land, then anything in it that's up for acquisition also becomes his. He can acquire it through the land itself. Kinyan agav helps even if the movable object is not sitting on the land. Let's say it's sitting on a ship, and a person acquires the land, and you mention you also, together with the land, want to acquire the movable objects. The great thing about kinyan agav is that it helps for even the chometz, even the movable objects that are not necessarily sitting on top of the land. The Yifrei continues the Kitzer. As kol hachametz uvecham macherloi, you should mention all the chametz and the shtar, and you should mention the price, how much you're selling it to them. Aval eina yitzarech lifreit skum hamidais. A person does not have to mention exactly how much. Just like what is the going price for a dozen of eggs, for a dozen of donuts. What's the price per dozen donuts? But a person doesn't have to mention how many donuts you're selling. You should just mention what's the going price for a box of cereal, but you don't have to mention how many boxes of cereal until you measure. You have to see how much you have. And everything that's mentioned in the shtar, a person should also speak orally with the buyer. V'kavli money a rovin. And you should accept from the non-Jew a down payment. Ushar hamayis iskal of a milve, and the rest of the money you should establish as a loan that he'll pay you off Whereas after Pesach, he'll pay the rest of the money when he wants to finalize or complete the purchase. Well, the purchase is already done when he wants to pay off his credit. Via kol kasa b'shtar, everything should be mentioned in the document. V'gam yimso leya samavtech min acheder, and he should also hand over the key to the room that he's acquiring. Or, as Mishnah Berurah tells us, he should at least tell him where he could find the key. Come to the front door, and we'll tell you where to get the key for that particular room, and of course we'll allow you to go to your room. Chometz shu b'soich kli atarach tvila, chometz that's sitting inside a vessel that needs tvila, that needs to be immersed in a mikvah. When a person buys or acquires a kli that belonged to a non-Jew, he has to immerse it in a mikvah. Over here, if he sells the kli, the vessel, to the non-Jew, and the vessel itself belongs to the non-Jew, then the Kitzur is about to tell us that if you sell the vessel, you're going to also have, when you reacquire it after Pesach, you're going to have to immerse the vessel in a mikvah. Says the Kitzur, lo yimkarenu makeli. A person should not sell the vessel as well. In other words, when you sell the chometz, don't sell the vessel as well. Ki la'achar ha-pesach ha-shiyachzer v'yikneu min ha-goy, because after Pesach, when you go back and you reacquire from a non-Jew, yitzdarech tefila mechadosh. A person is going to have to take all of his kelim that require all of his vessels, certainly all his metal kelim, and all of his glass kelim, and he'll have to dip them in the mikveh again. And therefore, sell the chometz, not the kli. There are those that are lenient, but a person, again, we don't sell our own chometz. We usually go to the Rav, we go to one of a rabbi. But when he makes the kinyan, when he sells it to the non-Jew, he sells the chometz rather than the kli together with the chometz. Continues the Kitzur Gimel. If a person, after he sold the chometz, he's afraid that maybe the purchaser is not the kind of person that he trusts, and he's worried he might do some damage over there, he can then, after the kinyan was already made, he can put some sort of latch, some sort of lock to protect the room. Now, if he put the lock on before he sold it, then it's absolutely, the sale is worthless. But the Kitzur is saying if he did it afterwards, then the sale is a good sale. Now, Shlomo Kluger in the Sefer Elif Lecha Shlema says that if a person sold his store, then it's not a problem that the non-Jew who took possession of the store completely acts like he's the owner. He sits in the store, he sells the merchandise, Shabbos, Yontif, it doesn't make a difference. It's not a Maris Ayin. It doesn't look bad that the Jew's store is open on Shabbos and Yom Tov, because everybody knows that you sell your chametz. It's a very normal thing. And therefore, it's not so striking that a non-Jew should be in this Jew's store selling his chametz products. Now, the Mishnah Berurah says that if a person were to put a lock to protect his room, it's not the best thing. Even though the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch sounds like it's okay, the Mishnah Berurah brings down the Shaar Tzion as well, that if you did it, then it doesn't ruin the sale. Again, if you did it prior to the sale, and when you made the sale, lock was already there, the sale's not a good sale. But if you made a good sale, and then afterwards you locked it up, the Mishnah Berurah seems uncomfortable with it, and the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch seems like it doesn't bother him as much. If a person has a question, he should consult with an authoritative rabbi. Continues the Kitzur. Oy, im akayin ha-raitzu lahafkid etzel Yisrael as mafteach. Or if the buyer wants to leave by the Jew the key, and therefore, obviously, he'll know whether the non-Jew is coming to the room or not, because he has to ask him for the key each time. Ashai, that's perfectly permissible. Avol aser she'aniach Yisrael choisim al chometz. But, says the Kitzur, you can't put a seal on the chometz, and that you could tell that he wouldn't be free to open the chometz and to use it, because that completely shows that the deal is no deal, and that would be absolutely prohibited. Continues the Kitzur. Dalet. Im eini yachol haskelei cholacheder meishu tzarek gam kein l'shtamisham. If a person can't rent the whole room because he wants to use it, let's say it's a nice sized room, and the chometz is in one corner, but you want to use the rest of the room. Yasem mechitzel v'nei achometz v'yaskas ha-mokim sh'ara mechitzel. What a person should do is he should create a mechitza, he should create a partition in front of the chometz, and rent to the non-Jew only the part until the mechitza, only that part of the room that reaches beyond the mechitza, the place where the chometz is sitting. After the mechitza, the rest of the room, leave it in the Jew's possession. V'yichta came b'sech ha-shtar. And you should write this down openly in the shtar. You should write this down openly in the document. Now what if the mechitza is not made of wood or metal, but it's a curtain? So you have to make sure the Paiskim say, the Shavur brings from others, that a person has to make sure to pin down the curtain so that it doesn't shake on the bottom. To make sure that it's a sturdy, even if it's a soft curtain, but that it doesn't just hang. It has to make sure that it's something that is that could stand up, even if there was some wind, that it wouldn't shake back and forth, even though we're talking about a mechitza, a partition that's inside a house. Continues the Kitzur. Gam yichta, you should also write, she'yesh l'kayne drisa regel, l'leches kirtsoinai, ela mokam ahu. And you should also write that the purchaser has the right to walk as he wishes to the place where the chometz is, to this place. V'gam shim yirtza goya za'al kayne limkar es ha-chometz l'goya acher. And also, if this non-Jew, the buyer, wishes to sell the chometz to another Jew, to another non-Jew, acha abesaycha Pesach, during Pesach, or l'Yisrael b'isru chag de Pesach, or to a Jew after the day after Pesach, yesh l'chulam drisa regel echel shama, all of them have a right to walk there. The buyer obviously does, as we mentioned before, and the new buyer number two, either the non-Jew or the Jew who wants to come there after Pesach, and he's buying from this non-Jew, he also has the right to walk into this room and to get his chametz. V'chein im masker o meichel agoy cheder, so too if he rents or he sells to a non-Jew a room, shetzrichin lecha shama derech reshus l'shal meicher, that in order to get there, he has to walk through the grounds of the seller. So he has a right to walk. If it means walking through his yard, he has to walk through his yard. If it means walking through his house, he has a right to walk through his house. Sarach lichtei kein b'shtar. You have to write this in the document. Sheish l'gaya kaina u'l'chola kainim, that the guy, the non-Jew, who purchased the chametz, and all the purchasers, she'avayu shama, they have a right to go there. Drisis ha-regel lecha-shama, they have a right of walking through this area in order to get to their chametz. Hey, Sif hey, im ha-bayis hu etel Yisrael, rach b'schiris mi Yisrael acher, If this house that has the chametz in it is only rented from another Jew, let's say it's an apartment or it's a storefront that's rented from another Jew, azay in yachol askil legoy leveiz dira, you can't now just rent it to a non-Jew to live in, believe reshus hamaskir, without first getting the permission of the renter, right? If renter A is now wants to rent it to the non-Jew, and B is the owner, you have to ask B, can I rent it to a non-Jew to live in? And if you don't, then you can't just rent it to anybody you want to live in. Lachain, therefore, yasnim aferishim agai. Therefore, he should create a condition openly with the non-Jew. She'ein maskir lo levodervai. He's not renting it to him to live in it. Rak lahachzik by kelav metaltlov. Only that he should hold in it, he can use it for storage, for his vessels and his other movable objects. From this and Karelitz and others write that even if there is a condition in the lease that says you can't sublease it to another person, that is not a problem for Mechiras Chametz or for being maskir for renting the place. Because what the lease means is that you can't rent it for somebody else to live in. But it doesn't mean you can't rent it to somebody to leave his movable objects in it. And therefore, it's not a problem to rent it to the non-Jew over Pesach. The Shivas Tzion writes that it's best still to get, if you could, to get the permission of the owner if he's available. Continues the Kitzer. Don't openly say you're just renting to him just for the chametz. Rakstam, just you should rent it plain. To hold in it his kalim, his utensils, and his movable objects as much as he wishes. It's his. It's his for storage. You're not telling him just for your chametz. He can store whatever he wants, but it's not his to live in. Umikol makayim. In a mask every year, but if the renter is in the city, meaning the original renter, the one who owns the house, the one who owns the storefront, yikach mimenu rishus laskirei, a person should go to him and ask his permission in order to rent it out to someone else. V'chein misha naisei l'derech kaidem Pesach, and so to somebody who's traveling before Pesach, v'ishlei timkor es hachamet, and his wife is going to sell the chametz for him. Yitin l'rashos b'feirish shetaske as a cheder. He should give her permission openly that she should rent the room. Vav. Also lasis tanayim goy. You're prohibited from making a condition with a non-Jew. Shel achar ha-pesach m'chuyiv ha-goy l'machraloy. To tell the non-Jew that he's absolutely obligated to sell back to you. You can't tell him that. Or that I, the Jew, am absolutely obligated to go and to buy it back from him. There are two problems with making conditions. Number one, some conditions are that the actual purchase, the actual kinyan, does not take place till later on. So all, because if the condition is not met, then the kinyan is not finalized. The purchase is not finalized, and therefore the whole duration of Pesach, the chometz would actually belong to the Jew. And even if the kinyan was made initially, but it's still dependent on a certain condition, and it could at any time be broken, still, with chametz, it looks like it belongs to the Jew, and therefore, we shouldn't make any tanayim, any conditions, before that either he has to sell it back to me, or I have to buy it back from him. Rather, Aval continues the Kitzer, Yachol Havtichai, you can assure him, Shiyatza L'Knesset Menu Shitin L'Revach, that you'll go back and you'll buy from him and you'll give him a profit. So he's very comfortable. And it would be very highly unusual for him to rebuff such an offer. Zion. Also, Limkei is a chometz l'musar, l'mumar, u'l'mumeres. A person is not allowed to sell chometz to either a male or female apostate. Somebody who was religious and has accepted upon themselves another religion. V'leilu ven mumeres. And not to the child of a lady who became an apostate. Afal pi shiladato migoi lacha shemira, even though she bore him to a non-Jew after she became an apostate, ki le'inyan zeh dina kama Yisrael, that with regard to this, they are considered in halacha, they are considered to be Jews. You can't sell your chametz to a Jew. V'havale chametzoi shel Yisrael, it's considered the chametz of a Jew, sh'avar lo v'pesach, the Pesach passed over, the osibana, that the Chazal created a fine that you can never use such chametz. No Jew is permitted, even if it wasn't in your authority, even though it wasn't in your possession, no Jew is permitted to use this type of chametz. If a person already did this, they sold it to a mumar, they sold it to a mumaris, so there is a way of solving the situation that you could ask them to then sell this chometz to a non-Jew and then the monies will then get returned to the Jew later on. In other words, you can't get back the chometz. The chometz itself is absolutely prohibited. But he can recover. What you could do is he can recover the value by selling it to a non-Jew, and then you could work out the money between the two of you. There are those who say that, let's say a person didn't realize that this buyer, his mother, is a Jew, and therefore he's a Jew. But you only found that afterwards. There are those, including the Sholmeshiv and others, who say that in such a situation there's room to be lenient. No. And therefore, if such a thing would happen, a person should consult an authority who understands these halachais, and perhaps there's room to actually use the chametz later on. Ches. Mi sheish l'chametz makam acher, somebody who has chametz in another place, not his house, oy vaderech, or is on the way, ba'galais v'sfina, on wagons or in a ship, yachol l'mocher gamke agav karkash m'kaymai, he can sell it using this kinyan called agav. By the way, by selling the land, he's also selling movable objects. Even though the land is here in his hometown, and the movable object, in this case the chometz, is on the way, is on the path somewhere, is either out at sea or is on a wagon. Umikol mokay yafkiroi gam came with nebezin. Still, a person should be mafkir, should release his authority over the chometz in front of a bezdin, in front of a court. Oy shleish anashim, or in front of three men. Now, the reason you would do that also is because it's not clear if the kinyan agav helps between in dealing with interactions between a Jew and a non-Jew, and therefore you take extra precaution to make sure that you rid yourself of this chametz. Vim huvala chametz of Pesach. If chametz is brought to a person on Pesach, hagoy hakoyne hu yishalim schar hagala v'yesai tzoyis, the Jew, the non-Jew who's the purchaser, who bought your chametz from you, should also pay the one who brought the chametz. He should pay him the wages for the wagon, and any other expenses that are involved in the transportation of this chametz to here. And the Jew purchased nothing. It's completely the non-Jew's chametz right now. Now, what if a Jew receives chametz in the mail, and he didn't know it was chametz? Only after he opened it, so it seems like he eventually took possession of it. But then, and then only later on, he realized it's chametz. So some of the decisors, some of the Paiskim write that he never really meant to acquire it. Because since later on he found it was chametz, it's called a kinyan betois. It's called a mekach tois. It's called an acquisition that was a mistaken acquisition. And therefore, it never really went into his possession. Continues the kitzer of him, Huvu lai chametz asher shalach lai goy schayra. If chametz is brought to him, then a non-Jew sent him merchandise. Huvu lai biksha. He never asked for this. Huvu lai yada. He didn't know anything about it. Yikabla gam kein hagoy. The purchaser, the non-Jewish purchaser of his chametz, should accept this schayr, this merchandise. V'yishalim ashegi lemevi, and he should pay what the one who brought it is deserving. He should make the proper payments. V'hayisro li'yis'askeba klal, the Jew should have no dealing with it at all. V'adraba, and totally the opposite. Yafkira gam kim bezdin, he should release his authority openly in front of a court, or in front of three people. Tes. Mi sheyesh le'rechayim, somebody who has millstone, v'teichnim naisnin meches tvua v'chmetzis, and those who come to grind at his mill, with his millstones, give him the payment is in leavened produce. So that's a problem to accept such payment. Tzarech limkor l'haskes rechayim. So in that case, he has to sell or rent out to a non-Jew the millstones. Kaidim pesach legay, to a non-Jew before Pesach. The Makor Chayim, the Nesivis writes that you can't just sell for Pesach alone. You should sell it for some time before Pesach, in order that you're not just selling it for the Yontif itself. You're actually selling extra days as well, and that avoids certain issues, which we're not going to discuss here. Yud. When it comes to the matter of selling animals, if you sell your animals and the guy feeds them chametz, there's a dispute amongst the great rabbanim, zichreinu levracha, their memory should be for blessing. What to do? And somebody who could be careful with this, toivlay, it's good for him. Maybe efshalay, if it's impossible, yasa al pi hayros chacham, he should do based on the psak, based on the teaching of a wise person in Torah. That if a person could sell his chametz, the animal to a guy. So the Mishnah says, the Mishnah writes that it's fine, as long as the guy will feed him his own chametz. Now, if you have to sell your chametz to the non-Jew and your animal, then it's a little bit more problematic. Yeshua Siakev and Aruch HaShulchan say that it looks like a big joke. It looks like you're doing trickery over here, and therefore one should avoid such a situation. Yud Aleph. Mutter lahalvas the Yisrael kikar chametz kaidan pesach. A person can lend to a guy to a Jew a loaf of chametz before Pesach, with the stipulation sheyachzel le'achar Pesach, with the stipulation that he'll return him a loaf of chametz after Pesach, even though if he didn't lend the Jew, this chametz would have been aser to the owner. Still, once the borrower accepted this loaf, he accepted it, and it's his loaf to eat, to enjoy, and he owes the owner, the lender, money or a replacement loaf. And therefore, it's totally under the authority of the one who borrowed it. Even were the borrower, the one who borrowed the loaf, to have kept the chametz in his possession until after Pesach, and now it's prohibited, still he would have to pay back the lender after Pesach, because initially he had a monetary obligation to the lender. Continues the Kitzer. Im chemtzai shall Yisrael b'shusgai, if the chametz belonging to a Jew is under the authority and the possession of a non-Jew, oive hefech, or the opposite, chemtzai shall gai b'shus Yisrael, a non-Jew's chametz is in the possession of a Jew, yasa shela, a person should ask a question to an authority, heichis naibai, how should a person behave over here? What should he do? In this case, there are many, many different laws, but the general principle is the chametz of a Jew, even if it's by a guy, even if it's by a non-Jew, and the non-Jew accepts responsibility for it. He says, I'm taking this my possession, I'll be careful with it, and I'll pay you if something happens to it. Still, if it belongs to the Jew, he's over bal yirah bal yimatzah. It says in the pasuk, "Sa'ar lo yimotze v'teichem." It shouldn't be found in your houses. If the non-Jew is washing it for you, it's considered like it's your house. And a chametz of a non-Jew, if the Jew has accepted achrayis, he's accepted responsibility, then he violates the iser of vayirah by yimotze, of not having chametz in your possession over Pesach. But if he didn't accept the authority, if he didn't accept the achrayis responsibility, then he has to set aside a place, and he has to make a partition in front of the chametz. Yud Gimel, Tzrichin Lizor Shlohanas Lachar Pesach Michemtzel She Yisrael. A person should be careful after Pesach not to get pleasure from chametz belonging to a Jew Shu Choshed, that he was suspicious, that one was suspicious of him, Shalei Machru Kedos, that he didn't sell it like the law requires. And sometimes when a person goes to a store, if the store was owned by a Jew, even a Jew who doesn't know any better, a person cannot buy the chametz that was in the possession of this store, and has to wait until all the merchandise was already sold. And sometimes it creates even more of a problem, because sometimes the store perhaps is owned by a non-Jew, but the wholesaler was a Jew, and the chametz was in his possession during Pesach. And a person can check with the proper kashrus authorities, and they sometimes know whether this chametz was owned by a Jew, the chametz of a store was owned by a Jew, or the chametz of the wholesaler was owned by a Jew, was in the possession of a Jew. And that way a person could clarify the whole situation.